to Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Did you guys get one? If you guys got one of those or not. Okay. So Daniel chapter 6, and we're talking about the grace of God in Daniel's life, and really the title is Grace to Stand. And again, we're all very familiar with the life of Daniel. And I'll be honest, I'm glad that I was not Daniel. I would not want to have faced the den of lions, though I would hope I would have been like Daniel and had the faith that he had, that he would just trust the Lord as God did take care of him. But none of us really pray for, I don't know, maybe you do. Have you ever prayed for an opportunity for your faith to be tested? Probably not. We usually pray, Lord, let everything go smoothly. Don't let there be any problems today, Lord, because I love you and you love me. But our faith does need to grow at times, and God knows what he's doing. And in Daniel's life, we'll just see, as we continue looking, the fact that no matter what Daniel did everything perfect. Nothing was found about Daniel that could have been told back to the king. Daniel had an upright testimony. Those men that had evil hearts and wanted to do Daniel harm could not find anything wrong with Daniel's conduct, nothing wrong with his work ethic, his loyalty, even to King Nebuchadnezzar, even though Daniel was in captivity, yet God raised Daniel up into a position. And Daniel was very faithful to that position because he was being faithful to his God. And we've got to remind ourselves we need to always be faithful to God. In the New Testament, you look and you see where Peter says we ought to obey God rather than man. God will always take care of you, all right? And Daniel, obviously not letting anything come between him and his relationship with God. But let's look at Daniel chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 1. We'll read the first 9 verses again. So Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Think about that. An excellent spirit was in Daniel. Now, Daniel was not possessed by the Holy Spirit, but he had an excellent spirit in him, meaning the fact that he had a heart for God. There was something different about Daniel. King Darius noticed it. King Nebuchadnezzar noticed it. King Cyrus noticed. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit's been given to us, number one, to seal us. So you know you're not going to lose your salvation. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit, all right? It's God's covenant to us. But also the Holy Spirit helps us to do right. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the truths of God's word, guiding us, as Jesus said, he'd be the comforter, he would be our guide, he'd be our teacher, all right? But it still is up to us individually to choose to walk in the ways of God, to choose to follow God and to be faithful to God, who's always been faithful to us. Because you remember what it said in Daniel chapter 1? Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel already had a mindset and a heart. He did not want to defile himself. He did not want to be a disgrace to God. He did not want to, you know, because he's living in a foreign land, there's going to be laws, there's going to be culture. Society is not going to promote the things of God. Yet Daniel purposed that he was going to be faithful to God. And really, that's you and I have to purpose every day. We're going to be faithful to God no matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone may do against us, knowing that God deserves our faithfulness. Because when you go to Romans, in fact, go to Romans chapter 12. Taking a little rabbit trail here. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, you look at verse number 1. As Paul writes to the believers in Rome, he encourages them and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Paul uses that terminology, uses that phrase, which is your reasonable service. All right? Why should we do the things that we do for God? Why should we even obey God's word? Why should we even allow ourselves to be separate from the world? Because God says, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. We are to be different. All right? It is for a testimony to those around us that, hey, my life has been changed by Christ. But it's also, it's us consciously making the decision that, you know what? I serve a true living God who sees me, knows me, he cares for me, he loves me, and he deserves my loyalty. He deserves my faithfulness. It is my reasonable service, because when you think about what has God done for you, what has God done for you? Your enemy will always try to bring up things that maybe God hasn't done. But we have to consciously think about, what has God already done for me? I mean, one of the first things he's done is he brought salvation. There was a day in your life where you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's true, I love the blessings of God. But honestly, if God does not do another good thing for us, he's already done too much. He's already done a lot. The gift of salvation, the fact that we have a place in heaven, we'll never die, we'll see our Lord and Savior face to face. When you think about Daniel, all right, Daniel believed it was his reasonable duty. He believed that I need to be a living sacrifice because God has kept me alive. God's promoted me into this position that was undeserving. Again, he's in Babylon. He's in captivity. Yet even in captivity, where you could say the Jewish people, the Christians, they had no rights. Yet because Daniel purposed in his heart, God raised him into a position of authority to be a help to his people. And he allowed himself to be used by God. And in Daniel chapter 6, all right, when you look again at verse 3, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set over him the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Again, the Bible still tells us all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You may not be thrown into prison. You may not be beaten or hunted for your faith, but there will be people against you. There will be people that say things against what you believe in. They may even mock you, as I'm probably sure you have been mocked. I've been mocked. My wife has been mocked by family members who claim to be Christian, and yet they mock our faith. They mock our faithfulness. They mock the Bible that we believe in, all right? But we have to be purposed in our heart that nothing is going to keep us from faithfully following God and trusting God. And look what it does. It's written about Daniel, there was an excellent spirit in him. It was noticed. It was noticed, and those that were under his authority, and even the other presidents, those that were his colleagues, those that were, we say his co-workers, they noticed it. And even as we talked about last week, sometimes your goodness, what you do is right, makes someone else feel bad. It makes, I didn't say feel bad, it convicts their heart. Remember Cain? Cain killed his brother Abel. And when you go back to Genesis, look at that. Why did Cain kill Abel? It wasn't that Abel did anything wrong. It's because Cain was jealous. Cain was angry that his brother's sacrifice, his lamb sacrifice, his blood sacrifice, was accepted by God, and the fruit of the ground that Cain brought was not accepted because God had already established what type of sacrifice he wanted. And Cain did it in his own way, and God rejected it. And yet Cain got upset with his brother instead of making things right with God. And God even gave him an opportunity to make things right. So we just have to remind ourselves that it's still right to do good, even if someone else is against you. God will protect you. God will bless you for it. Now, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. May that be true of all of us, that no one can find anything wrong with us. Now, people will lie, but hopefully we don't give them ammunition. Hopefully we don't give them something. They go, well, you know what? I saw so-and-so down at the grocery store buying a case of beer. Well, I saw so-and-so, you know, coming out of a bar. You know what? I just happened to come around a corner, and I saw so-and-so really just screaming at a cashier. And these are all examples of things that I've seen, things I've heard of, all right? And never yell at somebody. Let me just, you know, never find yourself getting upset with a cashier or a hospital worker, and then you yell at them, and then when they help you, just leave it at that. Don't try to be a witness after that. Don't try to say, oh, God bless you. Because I know of someone who did that years ago, trying to get out of a hospital parking lot, and they couldn't get the machine to let the arm up so they could get out. They were getting mad, and cars were piling up behind them. A lady comes up and says, can I help you? The person that needed help yelled and said, no, I don't need help. And then they started to walk away. A second person said, they work here. Oh, can you come back and help me? They helped, and then when they walked away, God bless you. That's a bad testimony. At that point, just let it be. There was an excellent spirit, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 119 that we need to love the Word of God, all those that love the Word of God. In fact, look at Psalm 119 as the verse is quickly escaping my mind. I don't want it to. Verse 165. All right, Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think about Daniel. Daniel is a man that loved God, loved the Word of God, and even though on this given occasion, these men sought an occasion to find something against Daniel, but they could not find anything against Daniel. We looked at this last week. We talked about they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. They couldn't find any lies. They couldn't find where he was not doing his job to the fullest. They couldn't find where he was stealing from the king. They just couldn't find anything wrong. And yet, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, it says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now let me say this. I've known of people that have been faithful to their job. They've been faithful to their job. They will just work extra hours. I mean, they do whatever the boss says. The job is their life, and yet the things of God go on the back burner. They couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel in his job, in his occupation, but they said, you know what? I bet we can find something with Daniel and his God. And you already know the only thing they could find wrong with Daniel and Daniel's relationship with God was the fact Daniel was faithful. So if we will be faithful to a job or faithful to a family, it should stem from our faithfulness to God. If we're faithful to God, then we should be faithful to everything else. We should have that excellent spirit. We should be a testimony where, you know what, People look at us, they may not like us because of your faith, because of your relationship with God, but they cannot deny that you have a relationship with God, that you have a faithfulness with God. Now, again, they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel except it be against him concerning the law of his God. And you read on, obviously, what they find is that Daniel was faithful at praying. He was faithful at praying. How in the world would they know Daniel was faithful at praying? How would people know that we're faithful at praying? Because not everybody comes into my house. Well, it's got to be because they see something on the outside. They saw Daniel praying. They knew they could catch Daniel praying, and they knew that, you know what, that's something that we can get King Darius to get puffed up about. So they go to King Darius. They trick him into signing this law, all right? And King Darius, he's puffed up with pride. He's like, yep, I am a god. I am the king of Babylon. I am the ruler of all these provinces. Absolutely, people need to be praying to me, worshiping me. So without even thinking about Daniel, who he had a heart for, yet he allowed himself to be puffed up with pride and signed this law that obviously condemned prayer to any god. But listen, what is it that would keep you and me from truly being faithful in our relationship to God? And we can easily sit in church and say, absolutely nothing. I will stand up for what I believe in. But listen, when the test comes, it's a hard test. Now, you probably will stand up for what's right, but the battle, the spiritual battle, is still there. I guarantee you that Daniel, man, the devil was really working over on him, wanting him to cave, wanting him, hey, keep the windows closed. Because notice, all right, notice in verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and the sign, the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And the windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Notice Daniel, he's there. He hears the signing of the law that would keep him. Oh, I love technology. That would keep him from praying to his God. But Daniel does something that was out of the ordinary. And I say out of the ordinary because it takes an extraordinary Christian, an extraordinary follower of Christ, someone who already has a relationship with the Lord, someone who values their relationship with God, to do what Daniel did. Now, there is a law that says you will die if you're caught praying to any god or any other man except King Darius. Now, there might have been some people that were praying other than Daniel, but probably praying in their home, door shut, window shut, maybe not even out loud praying, but just within themselves praying. But Daniel had a testimony that he was going to continue doing what he had always done, as he did aforetime. Now, Daniel knew, well, there's a lion's den. But you know what? His God, our God, gave those lions their lives. Now, we already know the end of the story. And I love going to the end of a story and reading it first before I read the beginning so I know how it ends to see if it's even a book I want to read. But we know that Daniel survives the lion's den because of God. But I want you to pay close attention to the words again in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He did not change his behavior because of a law. He did not change his custom or his routine. He did not change it because of a law. He did what he always did. Now, it's important for us to analyze even our own prayer life. How much do we value our prayer life? Because our prayer life is our connection to God. It's casting our cares upon God. It's getting wisdom from God. It's seeking guidance from God. But times it's just spending time with God, just sitting in the presence of the Lord and letting God speak to your heart. All right? And it's a very personal time. And Daniel was not going to allow that to be taken away from him. He was determined to keep what was important to him. He was determined to keep what was important to him. Now, I want you to think about, okay, verse 10, all right? An earnest determination on Daniel's part. All right, it's number 2, an earnest determination. And we ought to be determined in our faith that we're going to keep following God. Because listen, I'm not going to get political, but we have no idea what our country is going to be like after 4 years of the current presidency. Okay? But we should not be looking to the presidency. We should be looking to God. We should be following God and saying, you know what? Whatever happens, obviously we pray for our country. We pray for the president. We pray for those that are in power that God would turn their hearts. But we also want to be faithful to praying to God that God, help me to be faithful to you. No matter what happens, help me to continue to have a public testimony that people see that, you know what? I truly do have a relationship with a true living God. They knew they could catch Daniel praying because obviously they took notice of Daniel's life. They watched him day in and day out, maybe even mocked him at times, like, Daniel, come on, we don't need to pray about this. Daniel might have been the one that, you know what, in their business meetings, he said, can we stop and pray about this? Because Daniel was a man of prayer, so I bet he even prayed with King Darius, prayed in different business meetings, and the princes and stuff probably mocked him, probably snickered when he was praying. But he didn't care because he knew that prayer was important. He wasn't going to allow being in a foreign land under enemy occupation, his life being controlled, society, custom. He wasn't going to allow that to affect his relationship with God. And Daniel had a planned prayer. His prayers were planned 3 times a day. So Daniel had a routine. He had a routine. He had times where he had set aside to pray. Now, we all have schedules, all right? And maybe you don't always stick to your schedule. You know, if you're like me, you've got things planned out for the day, for the week, but lots of times you're off the schedule because things just come up, all right? But Daniel made it a point to pray 3 times a day, all right? He made it a point to pray 3 times a day, and and he made sure that his windows were open. He was facing Jerusalem. Because I want you to see this. We're going to go back. Hold on. I should really go back to paper. my sons who are very into technology and stuff, Dad, you got to use an iPad. Well, I do better with paper because paper doesn't, you know, go to a different screen. But anyway, you think about Daniel, right? His life, he had such a routine that people knew about it. He had such a routine that these men knew they could catch him in the very act. They knew at some point they would catch him, and they waited. Three times a day, Daniel prayed. you know what? It's probably in your notes. In your notes, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Because in Daniel, it says that Daniel's windows being open toward Jerusalem. All right? So he would pray in front of the window facing towards Jerusalem. Remember, Babylon is in modern-day Iraq, all right? It was south of Kuwait. So you think about Jerusalem. I don't have the map up this time. Thinking about Iraq, you think about Israel, Jerusalem over here, all right? So you got Iraq, Babylon down here, Jerusalem up here. So what is that, northwest that he would be facing? So he made sure that every day he faced Jerusalem. He faced that direction. The place where God was, the place that God had given to the Israelites, where the temple was, all right? Temple had been destroyed, but Daniel being back there or looking towards that direction, he was facing the direction of God. How do you pray? You don't have to tell me, but, you know, how do you pray? Some people, you know, like I was taught to always bow my head, close my eyes, all right? I can't always do that, especially if I'm driving. But there's times where I look up and I just start talking, Lord, why is this happening? You know what? It's personal. There's nothing wrong with closing your eyes, bowing your head. There's nothing wrong with looking up. All right? What's your focus? Who is your focus when you pray? Daniel's focus was God. And to him, to open his window and face the direction of the place that God had brought his people to, into the promised land, given them Jerusalem, given them the land, the temple, the place where they could go and worship God and hear from God. I'm glad that we can go anywhere. It's not a building. But in Daniel's heart, Daniel's thinking, that's where I'm supposed to be. That's where God's people are supposed to be, not in captivity. So Daniel was putting his focus on God. He didn't care who saw it. He opened up his windows so people would see him. Now listen, think about this. Before I read 2 Chronicles, they would have to hear Daniel's prayer to know that he was not praying to King Darius. All right? Now, there's times, again, where you probably breathe a prayer inside of you, and you might say on the inside, Lord, help me. Right? Or, Lord, would you, you know, help me talk to this person, or, Lord, give me wisdom in this. Sometimes you don't verbally out loud say it, all right? But Daniel obviously was praying out loud that the men could hear what he was saying. All right? Now, you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I just want to see the importance why Daniel was facing Jerusalem, even though he was in Babylon. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, you look at verse 36 through 39 there in your notes. If they sin against thee, and this is Solomon at the dedication of the temple, and even when you get to this point, as the temple's being dedicated to God, and Solomon asking God to bless it, but then asking God to bless the people, that when the people sin against you, and you send the people into captivity, when they turn back to you, will you please hear them from this place? Will you please, for us, Lord, would you please hear from heaven when we turn back to you. Because I would venture to guess there's probably not a single person in this room who's never made a mistake, and that you had to ask God for forgiveness. But the devil's always there to try to keep us from making our relationship right with God, turning back to God. All right? Now, again, when you're out, you're not looking towards this church building, all right, and praying towards this church building, because you're praying with God. You're in your heart, in your mind. I mean, you're praying to God who's sitting high and lifted upon his throne. But again, notice, I mean, as he says this, if they sin against thee, for there's no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, because that's why Daniel's in Babylon, because God's people sinned against God. God allowed the Babylonians to conquer them. Even though Daniel didn't sin against God. Listen, this is where a lot of people get hung up with God. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Daniel was a man who already had a relationship with God before going into Babylon. So why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? For his purpose and for his glory. That is the easiest answer. It's not the well-accepted answer. But for a Bible-believing Christian, it's the answer that says, I can trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Daniel was being directed by God. Again, we see Daniel in a very prominent position, a position that he has influence over the king to be a help to God's people. And there will always be enemies fighting against the things of God, fighting against God's people, but God is still sovereign, God's still powerful, God's still in control, and God will guide our steps sometimes where it seems like, God, why are you leading me into danger? Lord, why didn't you keep these men from coming up with this law that says I can't pray to you? Lord, why don't you change this? And God's got a purpose for it. Now, the judge of all the earth shall do right, and we already know. That's one thing about teaching Sunday school lessons. I mean, you jump around. I always jump to the end, and you already know that Daniel gets out of the lion's den. And guess who gets thrown into the lion's den? All those wicked men. They get thrown in the lion's den. So sometimes, you know, we got to remember that, no, God will make it right. God's not doing this to destroy me. He's got a reason for it. I have to trust him, even though I don't understand. I just have to trust him and to remind myself to be faithful to the one who's always been faithful to me. But again, back in 2 Chronicles 6, all right, the reason why Daniel even purposes to pray with the windows open towards Jerusalem, all right, verse 37, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we've done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I've built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Daniel is doing exactly what Solomon had said to God. Lord, if your people end up in captivity and they turn with their hearts back to you and they pray towards this place, will you remember them? And obviously, You read on in 2 Chronicles, and God says, yes, I will. Because God is a faithful God, he's a loving God, but he's a righteous God. And Daniel, with all his heart, though he is in Babylon, listen, there's nobody that would even probably blink an eye if Daniel just did what the law said. Well, Lord, you know that they have this law, and you want me to be upright, and you want me to obey the laws of the land. But God never said obey a law that was against him. Now, obey the laws of the land. We shouldn't go around murdering people. Shouldn't go around, you know, doing illegal activity. Again, we are Christians, and we ought to be an example of the believers. All right? But when there is a law that comes between you and your relationship with God, that's where the line's drawn. That's where the line's drawn, because your enemy, your adversary, is always going to try to disrupt your relationship with God. When you go to the New Testament, all right, Daniel's thrown into a den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're thrown into a fiery furnace. Peter and the apostles are beaten for their faith and told, don't speak in that name. Do not name the name of Christ. Teach what you want to teach, but don't mention the name of Christ. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than man, because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ demands, I'll say, respect. Not only that, when you say Jesus Christ as a Bible-believing Christian, a born-again Christian, as a child of God, there's power in that name, because that's the name that you trust in. That's the name you know is above all names. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's only power in that name as a true born-again Christian uses it. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts that try to cast out a demon in a man? They go into his house, they do their exorcist over the man, and they say, we adjure thee in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So they tried using Jesus' name to do what they wanted to do, to have control over a demon, have power of a demon, but that demon spoke to them, according to the book of Acts, and said to those men, Jesus I know and Paul I know. So even the demons know who belongs to God, who is sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is washed in the blood of the Lamb. And obviously you read that account in Acts, and those seven men are beaten up by that one man who's demon-possessed. But the fact is, the demon spoke and said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Because that demon knew they had no power. They had, if I could say, they had no leg to stand upon, even though they mentioned the name of Jesus, yet they didn't really believe in Jesus. Daniel really believed in his God. And he went and he did what he always did. He prayed three times a day. He had his set time. He had his set place. It was a very special place. Do we have a special place that we pray? Again, I'm glad that on the way to church this morning, to open up the doors earlier, before 7 o'clock, I was able to pray on the way over here. I prayed in the building. I prayed on the way home. Even at work, I pray. You pray everywhere. But there should be at least one place that you always resort to. It might be your bedroom. It might be your kitchen table, where early in the morning or late in the evening, just there's a special place that, you know what, that place has been reserved for you and God to get alone. Daniel did that, and he did not allow it to be disrupted by anybody. But even though he had a planned prayer, there was a prepared persecution. These men, no doubt, were waiting in the dark. They were lurking in the dark, as the devil does, seeking an opportunity to devour. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. The devil's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. All right? We can't see our enemy, all right? Can't see him, he sees us, but we walk by faith. We know that God will protect us. We just know. Never forget, you do have an enemy, but you don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have to allow yourself to be intimidated, because as you look at the life of Job, we're reminded that God does have a hedge of protection around us. The devil knows it, because the devil even told God, "You have a hedge of protection around Job. I can't touch him unless God takes that protection down for whatever purpose God wants and has." But these men were waiting in the dark, and they were lurking. Look at verse 11. Verse 10, we see that Daniel goes home three times a day. So for a certain amount of time, Daniel's doing this, and then they finally go and take their report to the king in verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh petition three times a day. So they were waiting. They were waiting. The enemy was taking notes. The first time they saw Daniel, they didn't run to the king. They waited and they took notes. The devil knows, your adversary knows the things that we do behind closed doors, whether we're faithful to God or not. Our adversary takes notes on us, because remember, he has an agenda. Jesus said, The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot take away the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation is given by God, and as Jesus even testified, we're in the Father's hand, as well as the Holy Spirit's hand, as well as the hand of Jesus. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We can't jump out of the Father's hand. All right? Once saved, always saved. But the thief still wants to steal our faithfulness, steal our reliance upon God, steal our joy. That's why David even says in Psalm 51, Restore the joy of thy salvation. He says, Don't take away your spirit from me after David's sin against Bathsheba and killing her husband. All right? But when you think about, again, thinking about these men, okay? People, again, we always have to remind ourselves, even though there may be a person against you, they're really not the enemy. There's somebody that needs to be saved. There's someone that needs to come to know Christ as their Savior. We're told that in Ephesians 6, we're in a spiritual battle. It's the principalities, the powers of darkness, all right? We're in a spiritual battle. And even though there were men against Daniel, yet the power is a dark power. It's a satanic power that tries to disrupt the things of God. Again, apparently this didn't happen up north. Growing up in the South, because every time I mention it, I have someone say, well, it was never that way in our schools. All right. When I was in elementary school, all right, back in the late 70s and early 80s, all my teachers that I can remember had a Bible on their desk. The principal of the school would come on the loudspeaker at the beginning of school, at the beginning of the day. We would recite the Pledge of Allegiance. We would recite the pledge to the Christian flag. We would recite the pledge to the Bible. The principal would pray in Jesus' name. every day, that's what we did. Now, prayer's out of school, Bible's out of school, even some high schools, they had Bible clubs. Those are being targeted. As far as I know, in Mississippi, there's no more Bible clubs in the schools. But it's just the enemies of God are always trying to get rid of anything that promotes Jesus Christ. Daniel would not allow his relationship or his faithfulness to God to be taken away from him. And he was going to continue to be a public example of someone who follows the one true living God. Even though he knew it would cost him his life, yet he knew that God was bigger than any lions. He knew that King Darius was only the king because the Bible says that God sets down one and raises up another. God's the one that's in control. And yet these men are going to persecute him. They're waiting for 3 days. They know Daniel prays three times a day because they've been watching. They've been watching. They've been taking notes. They go back to King Darius. They give their report to King Darius. All right? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, again, I referenced this earlier, but it does tell us, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution in some way. All right? But don't let the persecution of someone mocking you, criticizing you, even doing something mean and nasty to you, be the focus. The focus is Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Last thing, we got a few more minutes here left in Sunday school, but there is an exceptional deliverance. Now, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. Look at, if you would, verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, this is a heathen king. This is King Darius, who is going to encourage Daniel in his own faith. And he says, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now here is someone encouraging Daniel in his own faith because King Darius has seen the faith of Daniel. He's even taken notice. He's even watched Daniel, and he knows that Daniel is a man who loves his God, fears his God, trusts in his God. And he tells Daniel before Daniel's thrown into the lion's den, your God will help you. I know he will. But I want you to notice something else, too. We should be conscious about how strong of a testimony we have among people. Look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased within himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Even though King Darius signed this law, because he was only thinking about himself at the moment, as most people do, thinking about themselves, not thinking about how is this going to affect those around me. But when he realized that what he did is costing Daniel his life, someone who he loves, someone that he knows out of all his presidents and princes, he knows he can trust Daniel's counsel. He knows that Daniel always tells him the truth, and Daniel looks after the best interest of the king. And yet this king, King Darius, sets his heart on trying to deliver Daniel, but the men come to him and they say, then these men assembled, verse 15, unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. He could not recall the law that he signed. He couldn't change it. All King Darius could do was trust the God that Daniel served and said, the God whom you serve continually, he'll help you. He'll be with you. And because Daniel's testimony is so strong, You read on, King Darius goes home, goes back to the palace. Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. King Darius does not sleep all night. His normal routine of eating, drinking, music, it's all listed in Scripture. His normal routine, he doesn't do it. He causes himself to fast all night and to pray for Daniel, because Daniel had such a powerful impact on King Darius because of his testimony. All right? So, obviously, we know that Daniel is going to be delivered. I want you to look at verse 22. You know what? Back up, if you would. Back up to verse 18. The important thing about Scripture for us, not only to get wisdom and guidance, but to get encouragement, to be reminded of God's faithfulness and how God uses us to affect other people. In verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So he didn't sleep all night. He did not do his normal routine. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. He could not wait until the morning. He was a concerned king who was so concerned about Daniel. He didn't sleep all night. He did not feed his flesh what he normally did. Music, food, drinking, all the things that he normally would do in a night. And yet, as soon as daybreak, as soon as the sun arose, man, he heads for that den of lions. He just wanted to find out if Daniel's God was able to protect him. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I can almost imagine the king just running there and having the stone rolled away and crying out to Daniel and just heart pounding, butterflies in the stomach, just nervous listening for Daniel's voice. And I can just imagine, you know, concern on his face and just, but then his face, he smiles because he hears Daniel. He hears Daniel when Daniel says in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I mean, what a joyous moment that was for the king. Because he loved Daniel. I mean, you see it in Scripture. No doubt he preferred Daniel over everybody else because Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was a man who walked with God, and his life testified of it. His prayer life testified of it. In verse 23, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Listen, when you think about the grace of God in our life to help us daily, again, we don't know what, we can look back from this moment in your life, you can look back in the past and see all the things that has happened in your life. You can see where God's helped you. You can see where God's protected you. And that gives us the hope and the faith to look forward that no matter what we face, God will be there to protect us. That God's already in our future. He already has it prepared. He's already got our steps lined out. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why do bad things happen to good people sometimes? God's got a reason for it. And sometimes we won't understand it until after it's all over. But we have to remind ourselves and every day make that conscious choice spending time in prayer helps our faith to grow, helps us to keep looking to God, that He's always faithful and He will protect us. All right? I've gone a little bit over, but let's pray and then we'll start the next service, okay? Father, we do thank You for the example of Daniel that we can look to. And Father, may we never forget that it's not a made-up story. It's the life of a true man who had a true walk with You, who truly believed that You were his God and You were the God of creation and You were the God of Israel. And Father, that he just looked to You, he trusted You, and You protected him. And Father, that was the greatest testimony to King Darius, who even testified that Your God will help you. And then for King Darius to even ask, was Your God able to help you? And to hear Daniel say, O King, live forever, his God was able to shut the mouths of the lions. So Father, we thank You that we can have a strong testimony. Thank You, Father, that it's all about letting our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Father, we ask that You would continue to bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.